My name is Stacy Petty, and I have the pleasure of being our Ohio Missions Director. And so this morning, I appreciate that everybody's in the room has a little heart for missions, because my heart just explodes for missions. And our mission is clear. You know, we have to dedicate everything that we have to missions. It's the Great Commission. It's the one thing God said in the Bible. He didn't ask. He didn't define it to just be pastors or lay leaders or whatever. No, he just said go. And so I'm here today to help you realize what we have at the Ohio Ministry Network and what we have created for you. But here's where I want to start. I want to know what brought you into this room. Why did you even come through the door? What is going to make you feel like, man, that session was worth it out of all day long. I enjoyed that session. What do you, because I have a plethora of resources I can go over and I'm prepared, but I want you guys to lead and guide the conversation. So what is the one thing that you want to know before you walk out of this room? Yes.
Our church is relatively new to the AG Ohio Ministry Network, and we do not yet have a missions program.
Okay.
So
all things missions.
Yes.
Okay. That's great. Yes. Same for you?
Uh-huh. I've been on, I just recently went on my first mission trip.
Okay.
I felt called to Africa.
Ooh.
And I felt called to missions for a long time.
Okay.
And I'm considering going for a month.
Okay.
To Africa for a month this summer.
Okay.
My pastor really wants me to do that.
All right.
And I just wonder, like, as far as full-time missions, like, what's
okay.
The next?
I have all the resources for you. I don't need that, do I? Can everybody hear me in the back?
Oh,
sorry. Yes, so the question was, for full-time missions, I have a lot of resources for that. Anything else? Yes?
So how to plug in to what's happening here.
Okay.
From this side of the border to
uh-huh.
affect what's going on the other side of the border. How do we help our missionaries
mm-hmm. What do we have going on and how to get connected?
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Financial support for the mission.
How to? Okay. Got it.
Our little church,
okay, I have a planning guide just for you. And I also have a cohort you can join, led by Deidre Shilliday, that can walk hand in hand with you as you prepare your missions trip. All right, so I want to show you first and foremost, and this will start to answer many of the questions that already have been asked, is you have a little card that one of my kids handed out, and it's our website. Our website, so if you miss something or you don't get something written down or I don't send it out, it is all loaded on this website. Everything that I have, from all of the books I'll talk about to all the handouts you can have them digitally or you can walk away with them. Some of the things are on sale at the store, but everything is on our website. And if it isn't, I know there's one thing that isn't. I went back and I don't know how I missed it, but we'll get it on the website before the end of the week. And so I just want to start with the website, ohiomissions.com. And I want to start with missionaries because that's the heart of what I do. I get the greatest job ever, and I get to play with missionaries all day long. And I get to make sure that they're doing well and what their needs are and what we can be praying for them. And so you can as well. And now these are all the missionaries all over the world. These are our Ohio-based missionaries that are all over the world. So they came from Ohio. They're in our churches. They're from our churches. And so this is the website you would go. You hit our missionaries, and you can choose our U.S. missionaries. You could choose our world missionaries, but basically, or you could choose any of these links that will take you to the bottom. But each one of our missionaries are listed on our website. And if you click the more information on any of our missionaries, it will take you to even more information about them. If they have a website, if they have what their how to give to them is on this website. If they've done videos, they're linked here. If how long they've been there, where they've been there, all of the information we have for each one of our missionaries, they have their own separate page of stuff, and you can click them. The other thing, many of our churches are always looking for pictures. These are downloadable pictures. All you have to do is take them off our website. And so we try to keep the most up-to-date pictures because that's hard. I still get who gets the certificates at their church of who the missionaries they support. they are like 10 to 15 years old. And so it's awkward to hang that kind of stuff up, because when they come and visit and their kid is like Brady size, but in the picture, he's still a toddler. So you can take our pictures right off our website. We've created this website so that it is functional for you. And so anything that you want to know about our missionaries are there. The other really cool functionality, sorry, this computer is backwards of the way my computer is, so I apologize if I scroll the wrong direction. But if you click the downloadable list of our missionaries, it will pull up all of the missionaries that we have, all of them, and it'll give you a numbers file or an Excel file. Come on. And what it gives is all of the information you need to contact them, phone numbers, and then if you scroll all the way over or if you print it off, it also tells you what level they are, who they're with, and then when they're due home. So that way, if you want to bring someone into a missions banquet, or you want them to come speak at your church, or you just want to connect with them because you're interested in going in the missions field, you can figure that out and contact them. You have all of the information at your fingertips. The only thing that you do not have at your fingertips are these ones with the asterisks. There are sensitive missionaries. I can't post that anywhere. And so if you email me at missions@ohioministry.net, if you email me, I have them and I can email you. You just cannot post them anywhere. Those are our missionaries that absolutely cannot be searchable via internet or social media or anything like that. And even if you're emailing them, please don't use the word missionary in an email. Use global worker or, hey, friend, I don't care what you use. Just don't use the word missionary when you're emailing them. So I can get you all of those, all of that information, but at your fingertips, all of that. The other thing that is, again, I'm going to scroll backwards the whole day. If you click the itinerating missionaries, this is your list that is actively itinerating right now. What does itinerating mean? They're home to tell you what they've been doing this last term. They're home to just inspire you in missions, and they're also home to gather their support, because much like many things, inflation is a real thing on the field. And as for those of you that were in Patrick's session, inflation is something our churches don't often, I didn't take into account. I've been supporting missionaries for 20 years, and I still give the same amount I gave 10 years ago, 15 years ago, until this last year when I'm seeing now I have access to their budget, so they come home and then it's raised by a couple $1,000s. But our churches that I've been giving to them have never given them a raise. We got to think through those kind of things. It's not anybody's fault. It's just something I personally did not think about. So we, not as a family, you guys have no idea. You just know we support missionaries. But my husband and I, talked about increasing our support. But this is your list of itinerating missionaries and the ability to get a hold of them as well. And I did do it I don't do any graphics, but we did create them in the pretty and the not so pretty, because I'm cheap and I wouldn't want to spend the money printing that out. So we do think through those things as well. Any questions about our missionaries? All right. So the next thing I want to look over is, if we go back to home, you also can get to the missions trips at the top, but these are the three most important things to me, so I have a button on our homepage, is our missions trips. Yes, it's really important for all of our churches to provide an opportunity, but maybe you're a smaller church and you're not there yet. So let me help you. We send out trips every year. So the last 2 years, we were able to send out 11 trips from the Ohio Ministry Network. And then next year, we're hoping for more than that. In 2025, we're hoping for more than that. So currently, we have 11 trips going out, and they go all over the place, from Asia to Africa to El Salvador to Detroit and Cleveland to Spain. I'm trying to think if I left Peru. We have them going all over the place. And so all you have to do is send them to this website. I will do their background checks. I will check to make sure they're not a sex offender. I will make sure that all their application stuff gets done. I will collect all of their money, and there will be a team leader that leads and guides them through this process. Sometimes it's me, sometimes it's not, because if I went on all 11, I wouldn't be a very good mom. So I raise up leaders that are phenomenal and do a great job at leading trips. But this is where you would go for those. So there's multiple different things on this website and multiple different tools. But if you just want a snapshot of what trips we actually have, the current 2024 trips are here. They're all closed except for the Cleveland and Detroit trips. We have two. They're in June and July. There's a couple of those. And then there's, I think, three spots left on a June El Salvador trip. But I'm closing that at the end of the week because I'm ready to buy tickets for that. I want to say that's it that's open this year. But our 2025 trips will be released in May. That is my goal. So then you can then plan for the next year. And say you go and you look at that list and it doesn't have what you want to have on it, then give me a call. Let's talk. Maybe you have a relationship with one of our Ohio missionaries that have invited you or whatnot. That's what my passion is to get people on short-term trips, because something happens on short-term trips that can't happen in a pew. It's just the truth. And statistically, based off of a global study that was done, giving increases by 7 times after you come home from the missions field. And if you ask my husband, he will confirm that, because every time I come home, I ask for more money. Even if it's locally, I got the opportunity to go and visit our missionaries. We have Ohio missionaries in Cleveland that do some urban things, and they run a learning center and a tavern that they want to employ young folks that are coming out of their learning center. And I spent a day with them, and my heart was broken for what they're doing. I came home, I said, honey, I need $1,000. He's like, for what? He's like, you just were in Cleveland all day with missionaries. Never mind. All right, overtime, here I come. That's why we both don't work in ministry. He works a secular job. He's a police officer, and so that man can go work all the overtime he wants for me. I love it. But current mission trips are right here. The other thing is, when you go to the, not any of this. Sorry. I'm just going to pull it back up. When you go to our missions trips, they are categorized in Ohio trips, U.S. trips, and international trips, because it depends on what you're ready for. If you're just looking at Ohio trips, I don't want you to be overwhelmed by all of the international trips. If you're ready to take that jump and do a U.S. trip, maybe that's not in Ohio, then you can go to that link. If you want to see all of them, obviously I already showed you how to do that. The other part of this is there's resources tab. So say you want to do your trip on your own. We do have a leader planning guide that I have that I will email you. And why I don't put this on the website is because I really believe and take my job very seriously, that it's my job to make sure that I'm the network and resource center and to make sure that you are equipped. So once you get the leader planning guide, if this is something you're interested in, email me. I'll email it back to you, because I want to make sure that you feel comfortable and have all your questions answered. And we do have the leader planning guide, but we also say you're going on one of our trips, or maybe you're not, but you're doing your own thing. You can still steal all my resources. Everything on the website you can take, you can pull it, you can duplicate it, you can put your own logo on it. I don't care. It's yours. So fundraising. There's tons of fundraising ideas. And so if you click on this link and you open this up, it gives you, I don't even remember how many, but pages of ways to raise funds for missions trips, individual fundraisers and even group fundraisers. So literally, there's 6 pages of just fundraiser ideas that you can do, even country-specific fundraisers you can do. And so why we created these is so that you can take that excuse away of, oh, I just can't, I don't have the money. Well, look what we have for you. We have fundraiser ideas. So that is on our website as well. The other thing that we have is, let me go back to the top, is our training videos. There's 2 specific training videos that are on here. And one is just a simple one of how to tell your story. Because some of us haven't even been doing that. Statistically, there is a global, I think it was done by Barna. There was a couple groups that actually did it. But the most popular one was done by Barna, that 96% of Christians have never led anyone to salvation. Have never had that conversation of the evangelistic conversation of leading someone to Christ. 96%? That's a lot. So how to share your story is just maybe we think it's very small, but I think not a lot of people do it well or don't know how. You have to have your elevator speech, right? Why in the world are we wanting to tell people about Christ? Well, you need to be able to do it well, and this will train you to do it well. The other thing is prophetic prayer. Like when you go on the missions field, yes, we should be doing it in our churches here, but you better be ready to do it there. And one of the things that if you do go through our leaders training, we do teach you how to cast out a demon. because that's what happens when you go on a foreign missions field. It just happened to our team this summer, and we actually didn't have it in the manual before, and it happened. And she's like, thankfully, we had our Angel Porubsky, which is a phenomenal leader, co-pastor in Radiant Life Wadsworth. She knew what she was doing. She's like, you might want to put that in your training, because if it weren't me and they experienced this, this could have gone differently. And I was like, that is really good. I just didn't think about that. So again, training videos at your fingertips are right on our website. The other thing I want to talk about is recommended team devotionals. These are probably my favorite ones that I have come across. There are tons out there. Before You Go is a 40-day of preparation for a short-term mission trip. Why I like this one is because literally it goes into the nitty-gritty of, like, don't be upset about not wearing what you're normally going to wear because maybe their culture doesn't want you to wear that. It goes into, you know what, you're going to eat things you don't enjoy eating and you're going to like it, whether you like it or not. So it goes through the nitty-gritty, maybe those hard conversations that would be really awkward if I just said, you know what, you need to eat what I give you. It's in a devotional, so it's from Jesus. So it's easier to have those conversations. It takes that awkwardness out of it because you're talking through it, and then you're praying through it, and it's scripture-backed. So this is a really good devotion. Another really good one is the Live Dead Journal, the 30 Days of Prayer for Unreached Peoples. This is really, really good as well. There's another one, and this is more of a journaling type one if you really want to sit down and walk people through it. It's called The Watermark, Leaving a Lifelong Stain. It's really good as well. And then Dale, you use this one, don't you? This one, Dale has only led 18 mission trips in his life, not a big deal. And when he sent this to me, it is really good as well. And it's just digital. I can give it to you digitally. Prepare to Serve, a mission lip teeners. I can't speak today. I apologize. Team Leader's Guide and Devotional. But those are my favorite ones. The other thing on here, I don't have it. Hold on just a second. I'm going to pull it up for you. Maybe I just lied. Okay, there's the Leader Planning Guide. We went over that. Sample Missions Trip Budget. So in the Leader's Planning Guide, there is a sample missions trip budget eventually. We'll get there. There we go. So we go even down to the nitty-gritty, like, what do you need to budget for and why? And so that we have put this together. And anytime you say you're going on a trip as a church, don't list it as this is what the price is until you buy your tickets. List it as this is the price plus flight. Flight could be between this and this, because what you don't want and what sometimes happens is flights fluctuate. And when you're looking and building the team, it may be more or less than what it is when you actually go to purchase it 3 to 4 months out. And my suggestion also would be purchase tickets about 3 to 4 months is a good time frame. That's usually when they're about the cheapest and on a Tuesday. But you want to list it as this is the trip amount plus flight, and then let them know. As soon as we buy tickets, we'll firm up the amount. And so you want to always account for lodging, and it could be anywhere from $35 a night to $110 a night. Depends on where you're at. You know, if you're in the bush, it's not going to cost you a lot. If you're in America and you're in New York, it's going to cost you a little bit more. Everyone that takes a trip, I really recommend purchasing AGWM insurance or AGUSM insurance. It's a little price difference. If you do it through AGUS, if you're in the States and you purchase insurance, it's really awkward. It's like $5 for the first day and then $1 or $2 every day after that per days you're on the trip. AGWM is a little bit simpler. It's $4.50 per day you're there. That helps and we've used it multiple times. That helps if something happens on the ground. Dale actually just had a fun experience on his last trip, and we had. Yes.
You don't recommend that?
No, I. Well, if they don't register through MAPS, it's not. But yes, we register everything through MAPS. It would be silly. So. But I want to make sure that you know it's available, even if you don't choose to register your trip through MAPS. Transportation, obviously. Tourism, you always want to do something, even if it's just take them to the beach, to let them process, nonetheless. It's really important that if you're taking someone out of their culture, you have to give them process time on a trip. And so making sure to build that in is very important. And then you can see optional things. I always build in $25 per person for emergencies, because I have yet to be on a trip, and I've probably been on a couple dozen. Never been on a trip that I didn't have to make some kind of run for some kind of something. Whether it was they have a sniffle, because you can get medications not by going to the doctor in other countries, so you can just get stuff over the counter for them, a Z-Pack or whatever. I've never not been on a trip and had to make a run for something, so this is just helpful. And then if you have that extra money at the end, you can bless the missionaries. That's usually what we do. If we have any extra leftover funds, we just leave them with a missionary, because I go with it in my pocket. So once we've paid for the plane tickets, once we've paid for transportation, all those things, all that extra money I leave with the missionary, because it takes a lot for them to prepare for you to come. Obviously, visas, some countries need them, some of them don't. Outreach supplies, t-shirts, if you want them. If you don't, you don't need to. Sensitive countries, do not absolutely do t-shirts, because you don't want anything to flag you. But other places, please, it makes it the easiest to find your team wherever they're at, especially when you're traveling. If you don't want to go the t-shirt route, lanyards are also okay, which you don't want their name on their lanyard, but make them wear a colored lanyard. We have done that too. That's a good thing. If you're with a huge team, you do t-shirts and lanyards and build them into teams and make them different color groups. I got all the things, because we've learned a lot in doing these the last couple of years. And whenever you're building a team, the other part is the missionary may have requests. So make sure that you ask that question up front, because some of them just expect it. So make sure you just go ahead and ask it when you're in the planning phase. Do you require us to bring anything? So, for example, we partner with King's Castle all the time. We have at least two trips going every year to King's Castle. It's a super easy plug-and-play trip. They do require you to bring $2,000, no matter how big your team is, because they purchase toys for you to go out and give them to them. So that's just you have to build that into your price, because how else are you going to have that $2,000? So that's always helpful. Back to the website. There we go. What else is on the website? Let's see. If anyone wants a sample application, I have those too. We use Managed Missions, and Managed Missions is free up to 5 trips. So if your church is only going to do a trip a year, I suggest you just use it. It's free. And all it is it runs everything automatically. Once you learn it, it's not hard, and they're super nice, to walk you through everything. If you just want to do it on a Google Drive or whatever, I have sample applications that we have built that we ended up only using for the first, because I was in the office for just a couple months before I was able to purchase Managed Missions, because I run more than 5 trips. So I do have those. If that's something you're interested in, just let me know. The other thing I want to go through is what we call I'm Called Now What. And what this is for is people that feel like they're called. So what the heck do I do? Well, you click right here and you fill it out, and then I'll start a journey with you. But maybe you have a kid, maybe you have a teen, maybe you have an adult. If you have a kid, these are just the resources we put in one place for you to be able to walk them through. So the first thing is I'm Called Now What, and I don't have a paper copy of this one for the kids, but this is the adult one. But we essentially have a pathway like this for a kid, a youth, and an adult. And it's super simple. This is all the things you should be doing before you actually apply to go with AGWM or AGUSM. And the first thing is just talk to somebody. Is that your pastor? Is that youth pastor? They have to talk to somebody, because you have to have a mentor to go through this process, because there'll be ups and there'll be downs. Right, Mark? Mark is just recently approved MA that's working to raise his funds to go where?
Ecuador.
Yep. And so he understands what I'm talking about when I say you have to have somebody that is in your corner asking you the hard questions all the time. Plus, that's what you do no matter what when you're called to missions. The second thing is pray. Do they have an active prayer life? And maybe they do pray, but maybe they don't pray for the nations or pray for missionaries yet. They need to learn that. Because a big part of becoming a missionary and being on the field is you have to be very sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wants you to do and who He wants you to talk to and what connections He wants you to have. The other thing is establish healthy spiritual disciplines. Are they fasting? If they aren't, that's okay. We have a fasting guide as well. It's on our website. So if you don't fast, go to our website, pull the fasting guide, read it, and do it. Start building those things into your spiritual disciplines because they're super important. The next thing is give. If you're not giving to missionaries, then you might want to start there, especially if you feel called. And people just need to understand. And let me just share a personal story about our own, my husband and I's personal finances. When we got married, we always gave, like we were supposed to, at least I thought, the 10% to the church. Well, then my husband came and asked, do you give, because I'm the boss when it comes to finances. That's about it. But I do the finances, and he said, do you give your 10% off of what we make or what we bring home? And I said, well, what we bring home, that's all I see. He's like, oh, okay, so the government can have their first before we give our first fruits to Jesus. And I'm like, I didn't say that. I was like, but I might have been strong-willed, still am strong-willed. And so I was like, I don't know if you're right. So yeah, I prayed, and he was definitely right. So we fixed that financial thing, and then he came to me, it wasn't a few months later, and he's like, you know, Pastor, we were attending Pastor Palmer's, those of you that know who Pastor Palmer is, we were members of his church, and he had talked about tithes and offerings, and my husband came back, and he's like, so that 10%, that's just our tithe, right? The stuff we give to missionaries above and beyond that. I was like, oh no, it's all one thing. He's like, that's wrong. Did you not sit in church this morning? I said, I don't think that's what he meant. It's the things that, you know, when people need something, we just give them whatever. He's like, I think you need to go pray again. So I did, and again, he was right. And so we began to restructure our finances again to make sure that our tithe of 10% was going to the local church to do all the outreach, to make sure the building lights were on and all those things, and that our missions giving was above and beyond that. And I will tell you, then God called me. I was a nurse. Actually, I loved being a nurse. I worked at The Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center. I think they need one more name in there. For about 10 years when God told me to quit and become a children's pastor, something I told him I would never do. Actually, it wasn't even on the plate. I just went through my pediatrics rotation in nursing. I said, absolutely not. And so when God gave me that opportunity, I obviously prayed about it. He gave me my warm fuzzy. He told me that's what I was supposed to do, and I did it. But if you know what a nurse manager makes, almost triple figures to what a kids pastor makes. I really struggled with that a little bit. And I was like, God, we give all of this to missions. We give our 10%, which I know that doesn't change because it's just 10%, but we committed to this for these missionaries. So when I told the church that I worked for what I needed to make, it needed to cover my car payment and needed to cover my missionaries because that's what, I just bought a new car. I had a third baby. I needed to pay the payment. And I'm going to tell you, and I can stand here before you today to say within a year of that happening, our finances never looked better. We completely paid off our school debt and had money in the bank and our savings, something we had never had before. How that worked, I don't know. I can't tell you to the day, but that whole year was really stretching for me. And every time I went to pay my bills, I cried. And I'm not a crier. For those that know me in the room can tell you, I'm not an emotional person, but it was just God really showed up. So I say that to say, I challenge you, if you're not giving to missions, you need to give to missions. And if your church is not giving to missions, God said that's the one place he can test you, that you can test him, and he will show up. And I am living, breathing proof of that over and over again in our finances. If your church is struggling, if you're personally struggling financially, give to a missionary. I don't care if it's $5 a month. They appreciate it, and they'll love for you to, because then you'll pray about them every time you write that check. You'll be like, okay, I'm going to pray because I don't know where that's coming from. But God will show up. The other thing that's on this pathway is to meet with a missionary. Because our missionaries want to talk to you, want to have coffee with you, want to tell you what they're doing wherever God's placed them, because that's the passion, that's what God gave them, that's their purpose. And then there's some books and things, but this is a pathway. All that to say, there's multiple pathways. It's right here. There's a Now What called for kids, there's prayer calendars, and there's always a BGMC project. As far as the teens, there's a few more options for teens. If you have teens that you're involved with, There's also an I'm Called Now What in for teens, but there's also Called Weekend, which is in March. So just FYI, it's coming. Registration is still open. If you have a teenager that is called to any kind of ministry, it doesn't just have to be missions. Now, I am partial to missions and will be there. But this is a weekend, a Friday and Saturday night at Heartland. I believe it's $35. Don't quote me on that. You'd have to look on the website because I registered my kids quite a little while ago. But you just go on the youth website and you register, and all the meals and everything are included in their overnight stay. And like I said, it's like $35. And all of, if they're called to kids ministry, Megan will be there. I will be there for missions, as well as some missionaries that will be able to speak in the life of a teenager. So that's Called Weekend. I suggest this book for every youth that has been called to missions, Called by John Zick. And actually, it's not just missions, right? It's just all ministry. It basically walks them through to, okay, if you're saying yes to Jesus, you're going to say no to a whole lot of other stuff. And John Zick had the opportunity to be a professional tennis player, and he said no. And God has used him in mighty ways, and he works at the national office now. Now, that's not what he went for, but he just said yes to Jesus and no to a lot of other things. There's also Speed the Light, which is the giving arm for youth, and then also Called Collective, which is a year-long program for students that are really serious about their call and ministry. For adults, we have I'm Called Now What for them. We also have prayer calendars, obviously missions trips, the give, and then the missionary application. Any questions about Launchpad? We call it the Launchpad because once you send in your application to AGWM or AGUSM, you are now in the pipeline. And so we wanted to differentiate those things. The other cool resource that you'll want to know, just being a missions, and how many of you have ever heard of the Joshua Project? It's something that you want to dive into if you haven't had the chance to do that. They're just global statistics on unreached people groups. And so you can go to that website and you can type in anything or click any area of the world, and it tells you how many unreached people groups there are, and there's a lot of statistics on that website. So even begin, if you don't know what you're supposed to focus on or whatever, go to that website and start praying through it. It's an excellent, excellent resource. The other thing, if you feel called to missions, or you know someone that's called to missions, or you just have a passion, you're trying to figure it out, the other thing, and it does cost money, but it's called the Perspectives Curriculum. It is a really good program, and so it's something that many of our, I would say some of our best missions pastors in Ohio, and I always, you know, why? They have all taken the Perspectives Curriculum. It's just a really deep dive into missions, but like I said, it does cost money. Any other questions? Okay, I'll keep going. Prayer resources. Prayer is one of the most powerful things. I think it's one of the things that we forget about, but it's one of the most powerful things that God has given us to use. And so I want to give you tools today to help you continue to walk in that. The first thing is there's called PrayerCast. If you go onto PrayerCast, it's from our national leaders, and they have prayer moments. They have all kinds of things on that website. But again, it's PrayerCast, prayer, C-A-S-T, and it's all one word. That's an excellent resource to dive into prayer if you struggle in that area. I'll be the first one to tell you, coming into this job 2 years ago, I thought I could pray. I have learned so much because I didn't know how to pray for the nations. Like, I would pray before going on a missions trip. I would pray for my missionary friends, but I didn't know how to intercede on the behalf of what's going on around the world. Because, for instance, one of the things that we're doing as the Ohio Ministry Network, we are starting to focus on the Hindu and Buddhist world. Why are we focusing on the Hindu and Buddhist world? Because 85% of them have never met a Christian. And they are our biggest unreached people group population that we still have. That doesn't mean that Africa doesn't need saved. That doesn't mean that Latin America doesn't need saved. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is 85% of the people are unreached. What does unreached mean? Unreached means they do not have a Bible in their translation, and they don't have a church within walking or driving distance. How many of you have multiple Bibles in your house? I do. Can you imagine not having a Bible in your translation, in your language? 85% of those are a Buddhist or a Hindu. So we got work to do. In the 90s, we started really focusing on a prayer movement for the Muslim world, and now we're reaping those benefits. We are seeing thousands and thousands of Muslims come to Jesus, and that's great, and we should keep doing that. But we need to change our focus a little bit and really talk about the 85% that are going to hell because they just have never heard. And so one of the opportunities for that you have is there's an app called Change the Map. And Change the Map app will give you weekly prayer moments that you can do. You don't even have to think. You just have to pray with them and stand in agreement with them. And Patrick up here is our moderator on that. So if you go in and sign on to Change the Map app, and he can, you send an email or something through the message through the app. And if you have any questions, just ask him about it. He is our moderator on that. But Change the Map is just a catalyst, but it's a tool to help you to learn to pray for the nations. The other things are the 15 Days of Prayer Guide for the Buddhist and Hindu world. These are free. You can have them. I have a whole box of them at my table. If you want one, come get one. It's at my table that I don't know how to describe where they're at, but it's down the hallway on the right. The other thing is maybe you want to go deeper into reaching the Buddhist world. There is a 4-week study that you can do. Again, free. At my table, you can have them until they're gone. The last resource I want to talk about Change the Map is this book. This changed my life, and I've read a lot of missions books. But this changed my life because I didn't realize that you can't talk to a Buddhist the way we would talk to one another, an American or even a Latin American person, about how to convert to Christianity. If I went to Ian and he was a Buddhist and I said, "For God so loved the world," he is done listening to me. Because number one, you said for God. Which one? There's like thousands. So which one are you talking about? For God so loved. Well, the purpose of Buddhism is the absence of any emotion. So why are you telling me some dude loved me? Like, I'm out. I grew up believing that was my purpose in life is to obtain nirvana, which is absolutely no emotions, no nothing. So you've lost them. This goes through how to truly relate to a Buddhist. And also, it just, even if you're not interested in the specific Buddhist world, it's just a really well-written missions book. I don't love reading, and I read that super, super easy. Anybody else have anything to say about the Change the Map stuff? Because there's a lot of people in here that do that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it struck me because our granddaughter started college this year, and her roommate is a Buddhist mm-hmm. from Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows no one in the country, and yet I want to chat with her, talk with her, and at least introduce her to Christ. I'm not putting a lot of faith in my granddaughter.
Yeah.
But at least they are friends.
Yes. Well, and these tools will give you the language to be able to use to connect. And I think that's where we get it wrong sometimes. We just assume people think the way we do, and they don't. They were raised completely opposite of the way we were raised. Their brain is wired differently. It's just completely opposite, and it will change your world to read that book. The other thing that I want to talk about is every Tuesday, we send out a text message. So if you text to 84576 OMN Missions, every Tuesday we send out a text message. Some of those are Change the Map, and you'll get one of those a month. Others are maybe we have to move the Change the Map ones because something is happening on the field right now with our Ohio missionaries. So last Tuesday I was able to send one out for one of our Ohio missionaries that was just diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. So that just went out. If something else happens, maybe there's an accident or maybe they're having a big revival or something is happening and they have made me aware of it, you will be one of the first ones that know amongst other than our team to pray for that. So every Tuesday at 10 a.m., we send out those text messages, and those are live. The number is 84576. 76. And then you text OMN Missions.
Is that all one word?
Yep. All one word. And it should welcome you once you sign up. The other thing I want to talk about, which we kind of did a little bit, but I want to go back to talking about giving. There is a movement across the nation actually called Kingdom Builders or Generosity Accelerator, whichever one you want to use. And what it is doing, and AGWM has backed it, and actually there is a conference that you can go to. You can type it in and actually attend a conference, or just go to the website, Kingdom Builders, and there's a one-hour training that you can go through. And this is for church leaders or whatever that are in churches that can affect change in that way. And it just tells you how to create a culture of giving. And how to do that well, whether you're a small church or whether you're a large church, and it's a free one-hour training online. And we have several pastors that have done that now. One, for instance, his name is Josh Swanson. He's at Kettering in Dayton, and he started this at the beginning of last year. And people are handing him $20,000 checks. He just got another $100,000 check just like 2 weeks ago or something like that. And he just keeps texting me. God is blowing him out of the water of what he's doing just because he repurposed the way he asked for money. Because let's be honest, how many of you are sick of being asked for money? I mean, we get asked for money all the time. And so Kingdom Builders talks about just buckets. And you just give to this bucket, and then we celebrate all the things we were able to do out of that bucket. Instead of saying, hey, we need you to give to this, and then we need you to give to this, and then we need you to give to this. No, it then allows you to still celebrate all the things what we're seeing is giving churches the ability to do way more than they've ever done because they're not asking for money in multiple different ways. It's just, if you want to give to Kingdom Builders today, this is what we're doing. And there's books and everything on it. There's actually a book that was written that I think that is at the store. It's called Keep the Change by Rob Ketterling, and that's who started Kingdom Builders. And all of our missionaries know if you need money, you just email Rob Ketterling at River Valley, and they'll put you on a list because they give millions of dollars away in missions money every year. But it doesn't matter. Small churches are doing it and doing amazing. So it's just a thought, something I want to make sure that you have the resource for. The other thing on our website, many of you may not know, but we are in this thing called Ohio for Jesus, and maybe many of you do know. And the mission's goal is to increase giving and sending by 300%. So we created, and it's on our website, and you can find it. It's called the Percentage Increase Calculator. And so maybe you don't know, okay, what am I giving? What is even 300%? If you enter what you're giving to missions right now, it will calculate it and give you a goal of what you should be giving in 10 years from now. And it'll give you year by year how you should increase it. So it's just a tool that we created to be able to help you get to the goal we believe God asked us to. He asked us to increase our giving by 300%. Let me help you. How many of you understand a missionary budget? You're not allowed to say anything. So a missionary's budget, how does it work? What do they even need? What do they do with all of that? Well, let's be honest. I didn't know 2 years ago when I got into the seat either, but I have learned so much. One of the things that has opened my eyes is the fact of their itineration cycle. And I'm specifically going to talk about AGWM, our World Missionaries, for a moment. So when they go onto the field, they usually, if their career, they'll go for a 4-year term, but their first term is 3. It's just the way it does, so they can come back and rebuild their support, whether it's prayer or financial. But every year, they sell their stuff wherever they're at, or maybe they bought a house, they leave it, and they have to have somebody watch it. But can you imagine every 3 to 4 years, you have to come back to somewhere else, get on a plane, all your stuff, and not all your stuff, because you don't have a car, you don't have a house, and then just come here and travel the state and try to make friends. That sounds like the worst idea ever. I would not enjoy that, and I like people. So I just can't imagine doing that. And so in talking to the missionaries, I have found that, you know what? They just need cars. So guess what the Petties have? We have an extra car, and we loan it out to missionaries all the time. We also have had people donate cars through me, but we partner with Ohio Missionary Wheels in Lima. There is a guy up there that owns his own dealership, and he takes cars that maybe, like for instance, the one that was donated, it was a young couple. She blew me out of the water. She's like, my husband and I, since COVID, we both work at home. We don't need 2 vehicles, so we just have this extra vehicle, and we heard you speak that this is something the missionaries need. Can we give you the car? I mean, yeah. So they drove, Ohio Missionary Wills met me, because I work in Polaris. I live a little bit south, but met me at Polaris, took the tags off the car, put their dealer tags on, drove it up, spiffed it up, put new mirrors on it, like decked it out, and our missionaries have been able to use that free of charge. And so they have like a fleet of cars in their rotation. And so many times when our missionaries come home now, that's their first call, is Ohio Missionary Wheels. Now, they've been able to supply about 80% of our missionaries, but they don't have that big of a fleet. So if for whatever reason, anybody's got an extra car laying around, or you know of somebody that's getting ready to pass away or whatever and wants to donate their car, that is totally something that we can do with Ohio Missionary Wheels, and it's a tax-deductible gift. The other thing that they're often in need of is the housing. They have no place to live when they get here. And so we have several churches that there's one in Columbus, Kankin. There used to be one in Calvary. There is a new one in Wadsworth that they have a duplex that churches it's kind of like a parsonage idea where the missionaries come back and they're able to live there, again, free of charge or a small fee. Some have to pay something, and they're totally game to pay something. It's just nice to have somewhere that they can come back to. And so even if that's an opportunity that you have, I know for me, I have missionaries in and out of my house sometimes because we have an extra bedroom. And so we are, now not all the time because they're a hot mess and that's their upstairs. So if you're young and single and a female, the answer is yes, as long as you're ready for a mess. But if you have that opportunity, you can house missionaries that way too, even for short stints. And we have a document that we send our missionaries for those kind of things. So that's another way that you can partner with missionaries to help them. The other thing is we do welcome baskets. Maybe your church wants to do welcome baskets for missionaries that come home. You can do those things. They don't have towels. They don't have silverware. They don't have a blanket. They just came from Africa. Like, and it's winter, and it's, you know. So we do welcome home baskets now, and it's in a laundry basket because guess what? They don't have laundry baskets. So it's just simple things that I didn't think about at all before I got into this seat, but it's just something I've learned along the way that our missionaries literally come back and forth all the time. And so the other thing, I'm going to switch to USM. Now, they don't have normal itineration cycles like that, but if, for instance, we have a couple, actually, he's here today. You might see him running around. His name is Robert Willard. He's the one in Cleveland that I was talking about. He has his tavern shirt on. He's been pulled off the field, and that's why he's here. Because he's been running at 59% of his budget. And so they pulled him off the field because you can't run at 50, you cannot live on 59% of your income. You can't pay your health insurance. You're not saving anything for retirement. You can't pay your house payment. So they pulled him off to be at places like this to rub shoulders and to get to know people. So our U.S. missionaries, when they itinerate, it's usually not a good thing because they have lost support or whatever. And occasionally we have new ones that come into play. For instance, Matt and Liz Clark are still itinerating, and they're U.S. missionaries, but they're Youth Alive. So they're in the schools to help teenagers to start programs in their schools to reach their generation for Christ.